نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد honorable ulama ikram brothers and elders and my beloved student that is qualifying today we are grateful to Allah Ta'ala who has made us part of this auspicious occasion and Allah Ta'ala make us among those who on such an occasion will be forgiven it's upon the conclusion of such an auspicious occasion the proclamation of a person's forgiveness is made. And undoubtedly it's a momentous occasion. It is a momentous occasion for those who are qualifying today, for the asatizas, for the parents, for the institution. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that all the effort that was put into making this day a reality, Allah reward all of them. Including those teachers that were responsible for teaching these young sofas, the Alif, Ba, Ta. They were the initial ustads and teachers. They are also not forgotten. Today that is a momentous occasion for them as well. And let us refresh in our niyat and our intention that we are sitting here only for Allah's pleasure. Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned that great amount of deprivation is acquired by a person or is deprived of a lot of blessings and reward due to the neglect of intention. Generally, intention is so easy to make, but due to unmindfulness and neglectfulness, the person deprives himself of a lot of goodness. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that we are sitting here only for Allah's pleasure. And like that, together with that, we can make many, many intentions attached to the intentions of the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Once Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting with a companion, the Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in, and a beautiful hadith, the mafhum of which is, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam inquired from the Sahabas, that, oh my Sahaba, whose iman is very astonishing. Sahabas deliberated, they thought, gave it a thought. And they say, oh Nabi of Allah, the angel's iman must be astonishing. So that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, the angels are always in the proximity of Allah Ta'ala. They're always carrying Allah Ta'ala's duties perfectly. They do not disobey Allah. They are always involved in the glorification and the remembrance of Allah. So there is nothing amazing with regard to their iman. It is a given fact that the iman will be of a good caliber. Then the Sahaba gave it a second thought and they said, O Nabi of Allah, if it's not the angel, then it must be the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. To this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam told the Sahaba, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam are those that receive the divine revelation from Allah. And by virtue of them receiving divine revelation from Allah, it is only expected that their iman will be of a very high caliber. And then the Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, if it's not the angels, if it's not the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, then it must be you, be we, the Sahaba, Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in. To this Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you have a Nabi in your midst. You witness the miracles that is at the hands of your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you witness that wahi descends onto the Nabi of Allah. So it is expected that your iman will be of that caliber. And why should it not be when we read the stories of Sahabas? Subhanallah, what level of iman do they display? Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Sahabas, that, do you know whose iman is most astonishing and amazing? It's those people that will come after me, long after me, close to Qiyamah. They won't have the good fortune of seeing angels. They will not have the good fortune of witnessing revelation being revealed. They will not have you people as Sahabas who witness the Nabi receiving revelation. But they will bring iman on the Quran and Sunnah. They will bring iman on the Quran Kareem and the Ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How honored are you and I that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with iman. May Allah Ta'ala keep us steadfast on Iman. And when Allah is pleased with us, may He take us away from this world with Iman. And may He resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah among those who have perfect Iman. And by virtue of this Iman, we enjoy the Quran Kareem, a living miracle that will remain till the day of Qiyamah. And the Quran Kareem is such a kalam of Allah that does not just deal with the past events and the nations of the past, etc. But ulama ikram explain that the Quran deals with each and everyone, even in the present era. How we take from the Quran Kareem, that's how the Quran will reveal to us. And ulama ikram explain that we must put ourselves in the Quran, in the incidents of the Quran, introspect and gauge as to how am I upholding those injunctions of Allah Ta'ala. Once it was mentioned that Abu Hasan Nadi Rahmatullah mentioned in his kitab, he said the pious predecessors of the past, they introspect and they looked at the Quran Kareem, and every ayah they deliberated on it, and they pondered and they reflect, and they used the Quran Kareem as a mirror to reflect and introspect their life to see all the good qualities. The Qari Sahib just mentioned a few good qualities. All the good qualities that the Quran Kareem mentions about, are those qualities in me? And all those qualities that the Quran Kareem condemns, am I guilty of those qualities? And that's how the Quran Kareem became a means of revolution in their lives. It became a 360 degree turn that they changed their life completely. Quran Kareem became the means of hidayat for them. So my humble request is to the students that are completing today, as well as others who have completed and those are still to complete. Don't restrict your intention just to be the Hifz of Quran. So Quran Kareem, one alim said, is like the zamzam. Whatever intention you make, that's what you will see results. If you will make the intention of just becoming a hafiz, then accordingly you will see the results. But if you broaden your intention and broaden your vision and say, Ya Allah, this is a Quran Kareem of hidayat. This is a Quran Kareem of hidayat. Ya Allah, I need to obtain that hidayat. They always say a hafiz in class, he's always time orientated, not object orientated. And what it means, that my time in class is from 7 to 11. At home, okay, I'm given, I must learn 1 hour and that's it. Person must be object orientated as to, did I achieve my object? And what is the object of Hifz? The object of Hifz is to develop that connection with Allah. To develop that close bond. There is no better way to create a relationship with Allah and a connection with Allah other than through the Quran Kareem, through the Kalam of Allah. Then Abu Hasan Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayhi goes on to mention, he says the people of the past, how they introspect their life, and when they used to look at ayat and read from the Quran Kareem, they used to ponder and reflect and over, when Allah Ta'ala spoke about all the ayats of the pious and those who brought amal in their life and those who acquired jannat and those whose scales were heavy, and they used to look at it and say, Ya Allah, am I part of this group? And when they used to read about the alternate, may those who are the disobedience of Allah and what will their repercussions be, then they used to fear that, Ya Allah, am I part of this group? Ahnaf ibn Qays rahmatullah alayh, when Abu Hasan Nadim Rahmatullah mentioned in his kitab, he was a tabi, a very senior tabi'in. He had a very good relationship and a very good informal type of relationship with Ali radhiyallahu anhu. And he was known for his piety and his forbearance. At times he used to make such long sajda that people used to ask him, how would you remember the number of rakat with such a long duration of sajda? With such piety of him, whenever he stood to open the Quran Kareem, as I mentioned, the Quran Kareem is like a mirror. It's supposed to reflect our lives. we have to fit in our lives into the Quran Kareem and relate to it and see how is this Quran relating to my life and my personal life from a personal perspective and from a communal perspective and a public perspective. So we used to read the ayat of Quran where Allah Ta'ala mentions that are people of Iman and people that got Amal of Salihah and people who are good and pious and the righteous. And then with a lot of sigh of regret and remorse, he said, Ya Allah, I do not belong to this group. These are the people of the past who you speak about. And when the ayat is to come across the ayat of the Quran Kareem, where Allah Ta'ala mentioned those people whose good deeds will be weighty, and then they will be amongst those who will be entering to Jannah. Again, he's to sigh a sigh of remorse and regret and say, Ya Allah, I am not fitting for this group. I'm not in this category. And one day, while he's introspecting and reading the Quran Kareem, and he come across the ayat where Allah Ta'ala mentioned in Surah Tawbah, there are those who will acknowledge their sin. But the actions are such, it's a mixture of good deeds and bad deeds. Then he say, Ya Allah, this is referring to me. I belong to this category. This is how they introspect. And that's how they use the Quran Kareem to be a means to revolutionize their life, to reform their lives. In the same way, Ali radhiyallahu anhu, we know what accolades was given to him, what status he enjoys among the Ashra Mubashara, glad tidings of Jannat, etc. When he used to perform Salah, and he used to recite Surah Fatiha, and as he used to come to the ayat, Maliki Yawm al-Din, he used to repeat this ayat over and over and over. And then he used to cry and sob excessively, and like that the whole night would pass. And then he used to say, and he used to now visualize the whole scene of Qiyamah. And he used to say, Allah, you're going to be the owner of the Day of Judgment. Where I'm going to face you and I'm going to be there. Who's going to come to my assistance? Who's going to come to my help? What will be my condition on that day? And like that, the whole night used to pass sobbing over the fact that Allah is a Malik. And this used to have such a positive impact on their lives that when they used to conduct their life in this world, they were just as conscious of the fact that Allah is also the owner of all my affairs in this world. There was a great person by the name of Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi. When he used to come to the ayat of the Quran, when he used to read Surah Fatiha, and he used to come to the ayat of the Quran, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. One day he recited this ayat and he fell down unconscious. After some time he regained consciousness. And people asked him, what had happened to you? And he said, as I reread this ayat, O Allah, thee alone do we worship and thee alone do we ask for help. The thought came to my mind, Ya Allah, what a liar I am. And I'm lying in salah regarding this fact. On another occasion he said, if it was not compulsory for me to recite this ayat in salah, because it is compulsory to read Surah Fatiha, and Surah Fatiha is not completed without reciting this ayat, I would have omitted this ayat. Because I'm saying Allah إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ that Allah only you do I worship, but in reality I worship my nafs. And I'm saying Allah I'm only asking you for assistance, but in reality I always turn to creation for assistance. This how they used to deliberate on the height of Quran Kareem. Quran Kareem was not just a storytelling of the past and just history, but it was a living thing that used to communicate with people. And they had a very close association and a bond with this Quran Kareem. And that is my message to this young Hafaz that is completing. That your journey just starts with Quran Kareem. That close relationship that you enjoyed for 2, 3, 4 years, every day reciting Quran so many hours a day. What intention did we make? And what is our further vision and aspirations? Is it that now we are complacent and then now we are content? That if I have achieved my object, I have memorized the Quran, Kareem. That is just one aspect of the Quran. Kareem. There is much more that the Quran Kareem has to offer. And we have to now expand and broaden our vision and our intention. And my humble request to the young Prophets that are completing today, and all those who have become Prophets, go further and understand the message that Allah is giving to us. And see what Quran will do to us, how it will change our life, it will deal with every aspect of our life. Great, great scholars, they made Quran Kareem an integral part of their life. Such a close association they had with the Quran Kareem, and such a bond that it became inseparable. And this is what I may wish to desire to explain and to wish to pass on to our young father. The Quran Kareem is not just the hifz part, there is much more to it. We have to now transform our life, change our life. All the qualities that Allah has spoken about, we have to now see that it starts blossoming in our life. It's not nice, it's a happy occasion, but our heart aches. Recently, one person who works at a rehab, he informed me that over 50% of the patients are kuffars. This caused pain in our heart, that you got a prescription and Allah has given you a link, the best link to gain to Allah, to gain access to Allah and connection with Allah. How is it possible that after Allah Ta'ala has honored you with the Quran Kareem, you can find solace in something else besides Quran Kareem? Quran should be our friend, should be our bosom friend. Should be part of our life in every opportunity. Quran Kareem must be there. Such a close bond and relationship we have to develop with the Quran Kareem. That's why ulama ikram explain in Anas Radhiallahu Anhu report that Allah Ta'ala mentioned some of the fact that among my slaves and the people, there are those who are part of my household. When Sahaba Ridwan inquired, who are they? They say, men of Quran Kareem. And yet ulama ikram explained, when do you identify a person to be a family member? When he's often in that house. He's so often in that house that you take him to be part of the family. Our relationship should be so much with the Quran Kareem, so we enjoy the exclusive honor of being the household of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is free from all family relationships, but this is just to show how we can enjoy and what proximity we can get to Allah. And really, the Quran Kareem is for this purpose. The Quran Kareem is to navigate our life, to steer our life, to gain closeness to Allah, and ultimately to gain our ultimate success, and that is us. And this Quran Kareem is not only for our success in the Akhirat, but it will be a means of success in this dunya as well. It will make our life easy in this world. Today it's a misconception that we feel that the instruction that Allah gives us is to narrow our life and make our life difficult. That's a misconception. A simple example for us to understand. If a person purchases a car, and that car comes with an instruction manual, and in that instruction manual it says clearly that this car moves on diesel and certain other instructions it gives. If I feel I'm independent from the instruction of the factory because I purchased it with my money, and that factory do not have the right to dictate to me how I must run my car, etc., and I go put petrol when it's supposed to be diesel, isn't that would be a foolish act to do? That those instructions are there for your well-being and your interest at heart. It's for you to get the maximum benefit from that car. That's why these guidelines are there to help you. Allah who loves us, who has created us. That's why Allah has not forsaken us. Allah Ta'ala has sent us instruction manual, the Quran Kareem, to guide us and to steer us how to conduct our lives so that we can gain maximum benefit. And not only that, out of Allah's compassion and kindness, Allah sent our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a practical demonstrator to demonstrate how to conduct our life. So where is Hufadul Ikram and all the Hufaz, our honored Hufaz. Let us introspect. How much have the Quran played out in my life? What impact it had in my life? What effect it did have in my life? Or I'm just complacent that I have the title of Hafiz. Ulama say Hafiz, this title is given that a person will protect the Quran. Mufti Shafi rahmatullah alayhi say actually is the other way around. The Quran will protect you. You're not protecting the Quran. The Quran will come to your rescue at a time of need. During the Khalifa of Umar radhiyallahu anhu, there was one youngster who had a very close relationship and attachment to Umar radhiyallahu anhu, was the Khalifa of that time. And not only that, he used to spend maximum time in the masjid. And he had a passion for Quran Kareem, had a very great amount of love, profound love for the Quran Kareem. And Umar radhiyallahu anhu had a very, very soft spot for him. And he was very close to him. He had a very great amount of liking for this youngster. And every time this youngster used to come out from the masjid, there was one lady that always tried to entice him. And this is what I'm going to speak to the Hufaz today also. That now you're going out in the world, there'll be a lot of challenges, there'll be a lot of tests, there'll be a lot of distractions. Let this Quran Kareem be our guide and our salvation and our protection. That when any the time when we are in crossroads, this Quran should come to our rescue and guide us and save us from all confusion and guide us which way to move. We have a great treasure with us, treasure it. And don't take it for granted. Because Allah Ta'ala has made it so easy in our country, we must make so much shukr. That Allah has facilitated and made things so easy for us to acquire Quran Kareem. We go to different parts of the world under such difficult conditions, they learn Quran Kareem. So anyway, this youngster, every time he's to ignore it, as being human, as a human being, sometimes in the moment of weakness, one day he wavered and he succumbed to the appeal to of this lady. And as he was going towards her and she went into the room and she's ushering him in, at the door he started trembling and the ayat just blossomed in his mind, in his heart. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكْرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. When this ayat echoed in his heart, he started trembling and he collapsed and he passed away. Like this, the burials, everything was made arrangement at night. He was buried. The next morning, Umar ibn Anu was not disturbed. He wasn't informed. And Umar ibn Anu had a very great liking for this youngster. The next morning, when the news reached Umar ibn Anu, he said, take me. He asked the father, what has transpired. The father explained the whole thing, the reason, and what has transpired between his son and this woman, etc. And then Umar ibn Anu said, take me to the grave of your son. When he went there, and Umar ibn Anu read the ayat which mentions, ulama ikram explained that that person, out of the fear of Allah, Allah blessed him with two jannahs. What? Two jannahs. As Umar ibn Anu is reciting this ayat, miraculously he hears a voice from within the qabr and says, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are reciting this ayat, I am actually visualizing it. Subhanallah. This is when the Quran Kareem will come to your rescue, when you will make it part of your life, an integral part of your life. And really appreciate this ni'mat, as I have mentioned. Under difficult conditions, people are learning Quran Kareem. One day we had the opportunity to go to one place and they take us to a Darul Uloom, where there was a huge Darul Uloom. And you see, it was in midwinter, and Allah forgive us, we are weak. All the clothing that we have taken, we started wearing it. And they seen that because we are foreigners, they made all the arrangements of our comfort. In the masjid, they had those gas heaters that's attached to the wall. They made sure they put it on for us. And then, to our surprise, we seen in the back courtyard open, just chatai, 1 hour before Fajr, young children by the age of 5, 6, 7, just with a small child of barefoot coming to learn Quran Kareem under those conditions. And then we say, Ya Allah, look at the level of sacrifice people are making for Quran. Another place we went, we seen young boys, they took me to the dormitory. They had a small stomach boxes. So the best to describe is like how you get those apple boxes, maybe. That was their clothing in there. In front, they had a small chadar, and that was the space for their sleeping. Others had small cases like trunks. And it was a Friday, so before Juma, from 8:30, you see them all by the wuzukana, and they're all washing their clothes. 7, 8, 9 year olds. And they're so content and they're so happy. And then I had the opportunity to go to the mudbug to where they are fed. Simple dish they are given. And that is in this condition they learn Quran Kareem. Really, we don't know what ni'mat Allah has bestowed upon us in our country. The facilities, the opportunities Allah has given us. Let us make shukr to Allah. Let us be grateful to Allah. Then Allah will increase us. And now let us go further. That now Allah Ta'ala has honored, especially these shufa's that are completing, Allah has honored you with the words of the Quran Kareem. Make the sincere intention that, Ya Allah, now I want to further my studies to understand what message you have. And see what Quran Kareem will do in our life. And make the Quran Kareem part of our life and introspect. And see are those qualities which Allah Ta'ala condemned. For example, ulama say that when Allah speaks about Fir'aun, it's not just history and information. Ask ourselves those same arrogance, haughtiness, stubbornness, pride. Do I suffer from those qualities? When Allah speaks about Haman, Qarun, etc., Shaitan himself, how arrogant he was, how he tried to justify his disobedience to Allah. Do I have those qualities and traits? The Quran is speaking to me, and it's trying to make me and conscientize me as to how I can reform myself. And if we use the Quran in this manner, see how quickly our hearts will be reformed. And see how quickly our qualities, evil qualities, will be transformed into good qualities. And this is what we have to work towards. That now we have to make sure that the akhlaq, the character, that high pedestal that Allah has put a heart with, we have to uphold that pedestal. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah writes in the Fadail Amal, it does not behove a hafiz of Quran, a man of Quran, to act indolent and to act foolishly and to be amused by things of the dunya. Allah has given him a high position. He's a man of Quran. He's a man whom Allah Ta'ala has chosen to protect the Quran. We have to uphold that status. So introspect and say, Ya Allah, as a hafiz of Quran, am I fulfilling the demand of the Quran Kareem? This is important. And then to the parents, mashallah, it's a great occasion for you as well. But we as parents have to play our part as well. Do we make our home environment conducive for our children to practice deen and to read Quran Kareem? That we should ask ourselves. Or do we make it difficult for them? It is our responsibility now. During the hijs, the 3-4 years that the shufa's are learning and memorizing the Quran Kareem, the ustad makes a lot of effort in order to ensure that they memorize the Quran, and the qualities of these, of the shufa's, our hafiz, must be instilled in them. Now that they are now probably going to leave madrasa, inshallah they will continue, but if they're going to leave madrasa, they're not going to have that guiding figure above them. Now is the responsibility of the parents to play their role. A lot of burden was taken off the parents' shoulders through by the ustad. Allah reward the asatidahs. Only when a person is a ustad of his class does he realize what a momentous task it is. So now is the parents to make that home environment conducive, to make it easy for them to practice Quran, the Quran Kareem, and to memorize and to continue reciting the Quran Kareem. We should never leave the Quran Kareem at any time. Look at Uthman radhiyallahu anhu. It is mentioned about him that he used to recite the entire Quran Kareem in one rakah. He's famous for it. But yet, despite him knowing his Quran so well, yet his end was when he was reading the Quran Kareem from the Mus'haf. And he passed away in that condition. To teach you and I that also when opening the Mus'haf and reading from the Mus'haf is also necessary. Let it be part of our life. That nur that Allah has imbued in our hearts, let it be a means of us taking it to our home and changing our environment. Just one karbazari of one darulum. There was a youngster by the age of 12 years old. He came from a very modern family. Parents, generally, because family and his son also was inspired, I want to become a hafiz. So parents say, all right, many parents are from modern background. Okay, let him become a hafiz. Okay. They don't appreciate and they really realize the value of what is a hafiz. So anyway, like that, he said, all right, you can go to a darul room. So he went to one darul room. And listening to the advices of the ustad, etc. After a term that he was staying in a darul room, after the first term he came home. He started now, the father, the mother and him, like normal, they used to have the TV and that. He used to go straight to his room. And then eating time also, when they used to eat together on the table, he used to request his mother, oh, mommy, please for me, the sarkan next to you, people, I'll sit on the floor. And like that, the first holiday went past. Then he went back to the madrasa, second term, after the second term, he came home again. And then again, they used to notice that he's not part of them, he's going in the room, and they are watching all the films, he's going in the room. Eventually, the parents made mashwara among themselves. They said, this can't go on. Our child is in the darul room, he comes so little, only holidays. And later, he's on his own, and we are separate. We have to make some changes in our life. And later, alhamdulillah, they decided, okay, in order to make it easy for him so that he can, because that ustad used to always advise him, that listen, the nur of Quran is nur, and you can't contaminate it with evil and sin. Sin is darkness. In one container, nur and darkness cannot be accommodated. So like your heart, how you putting the nur of Quran Kareem in your heart, you can't contaminate it with darkness. And like that had a great impact on his life, so he started now staying away. Eventually, parents decided, we can't go on like this, our son, we have to make some adjustment. And like that, alhamdulillah, a 12-year-old child was the means of them getting rid of the TV from the home, for them now to sit on the floor, sunnah way of eating. And not only that, Allah gave the father the tawfiq to start wearing kutang 5 times namaz and the mother in full parda. This is the effect of Quran Kareem of a youngster. And this is how what impact we should have at home. That we should have create a revolution in home, nicely, in a nice way. He didn't say a word as a youngster. He didn't demand and command from them. Just by amalan, that had a positive impact on them, our parents. Really, my beloved brothers and elders, we don't know what the treasure we have. And now we're coming to the month of Ramadan. This man of Quran does not only refer to a Hafiz of Quran. We as even those that have not memorized the Quran, if we have a close attachment to the Quran Kareem and we always with the Quran Kareem, Ulama Ikram explained, we will also enjoy all the status that Allah has alluded to the Hafiz of Quran. How happy we get sometimes once I went to one place, a non-Hafiz say, Alhamdulillah, it is my practice for years that I read one manzil a day. Every 7 days I make a khatam. I met one person and I looked at him, a businessman. I looked at him and he looked at me and he seen I'm talking, discussing. He said, what do you think my age is? So he looked very young and healthy. So I said, maybe I was 62, 63. He smiled. He said, I'm 86 years old. What a shock. I said, but mashallah, you're putting you good health and you're looking well. And I just told him, I said, you must be having a very close relationship with the Quran Kareem. And he smiled. And he said, alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Allah, every 3 days I make a khatam of the Quran Kareem. This is Quran Kareem. This is how it look at your worldly interests also. Akhir is something else. Make Quran an integral part of our life. And let it be a means of guidance and navigation for us in this world. And see what it will give us in the akhirah. and see how it will remove all confusion, all doubts, all unnecessary fears and worries. Because Allah Ta'ala, this is Allah's kalam. Can any kalam be compared to the kalam of Allah? Can never. So my beloved brother, it gives us very great joy to see these occasions. And like that, alhamdulillah, in our country we are gifted and we are very, very privileged. Many, we find Hifz Jalsas, etc. And many are completing on a macro level. But the question we should ask, how much of that Quran is in our life? How much, like that, alhamdulillah, how much that Quran is practically in our life? And now we have to endeavor to do that. So my advice to our young fathers are completing today. Remember, the journey is just started. I always say, and all our ulama always say, and the easiest in the life of a hafiz, or in the journey of a hafiz, is to become a hafiz, to memorize the Quran. More difficult than that is to remain a hafiz. More difficult than that is to remain a hafiz. So the consistency. Haji Farooq Rahmatullah Ali, Mufti Mahmood Rahmatullah, once occasion said, encourage the Fufaz that at least 3 Jews a day, a person, that must be his quota every day without fail. And there are many, mashallah, they got a habit for years. After the while, they start the 4 sunnahs of Dhuhr, they read one para in that 4 rakat. Subhanallah. And then in Awabin, they read another one para. And then in Tahajjud, they read another one para. This is how they do their 3 para. Allah give us all the tawfiq wa wafas to be able to do this. But if that's not possible in Salah, the best is in Salah, but if that's not possible, at least make it a point that at least that is my quota. And for a non-hufaz, a non-hafiz, at least 1 juz a day. And Haji Farooq Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, for a hafiz, 5 juz, that should be his quota. If we are in non-hufaz that are doing 1 manzil a day, it's not difficult for a hafiz. Some of them sometimes take 40 minutes to read one para. A hafiz will take 20 minutes to read one para. Once we met one person also, and he said, it takes me over an hour to read 1 juz. But alhamdulillah, I think 3 khatams he made in Ramadan. So let us, alhamdulillah, my beloved brothers, on this occasion, may Allah Ta'ala accept all the efforts. And may Allah Ta'ala make this till the day of Qiyamah be a continuous thing, that we always witness that our attachment to Quran and the Hifz Jalsa carries on. And let us, if we have not, if anybody in our family, let this serve as an inspiration for us, that somebody in my life I must make a hafiz. I will just conclude with one Kar Guzari that we heard in Raiwin, in Pakistan. Just to think, alhamdulillah, we do not know the effects. He said this one person, he used to sell tea on the station. And a Jamaat was tashkil to go in one place. And as they came, they were supposed to go by train. They came to this one station. It was the time, train was not yet the time for them to board the train. So they sat down for talim. And as they was reading, this so happened that they read about the virtues of Quran and they came across the virtues of a hafiz. And this person who was selling tea overheard them read that the parents of the hafiz will be honored in such a way on the day of Qiyamah that they will be, that he will be honored, the parents will be honored to wear a crown, the brilliance of which will excel that of the sun. And that stuck in him. Immediately he went home and he told his son, today I heard an amazing virtue, my desire is you must become a hafiz. And then Allah Ta'ala inspired the son and he became a hafiz. So one day how the Kar Guzari came of this whole incident, one Jamaat went to a darlum, a huge darlum, where the father of the principal was sitting, and the principal of the darlum, huge darlum, I think there was about 1200 students there, and the father is narrating the Kar Guzari of this and saying, I was the tea seller and my son is the principal of the darlum. He became a hafiz, he became an alim, he opened up a darul ulum, and look at the benefits of it. On one hadith, hearing the virtues of a father, of a parent, really, we inshallah, it's never too late. Mufti Hussein Bayat, rahmatullah, used to always say in a huge jalsa, with Allah, there is no time limit. If a person, when he's 60 or 70, and he feels, Ya Allah, I didn't have the opportunity to become a hafiz. In our time, there weren't so many facilities to facilitate the opportunity to become a hafiz. He should not despair. With Allah Ta'ala, even if he starts with Surah Yasin, as I mentioned at the beginning of the Bayan, intention plays a very important role. So he starts with Surah Yasin, for example. Every day you return and say, Ya Allah, I'm going to learn one ayat, even one word. But my intention is, Ya Allah, I'm starting with Surah Yasin, but I want to become a hafiz. Allah's mercy is unlimited. So Mufti Hussain was saying, Rahmatullah, said, if his entire life he only memorized one ayat and he passed on, inshallah, he'll wake up as a hafiz of by virtue of his intention. So make that niyat, inshallah, that we, inshallah, even we start with Yasra Hasin, start one ayat, etc., with this intention. Who knows, on the day of Qiyamah, we'll be also honored to be amongst the Hufaz. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, inshallah, that we, Allah Ta'ala, all the valuable advices that was given and will be given, may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice on it. And may Allah Ta'ala make this, by virtue of these young Hufaz that are graduating today, may Allah Ta'ala make it a means of our maghfirat and a means of gaining Allah Ta'ala happiness. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.